All right, good evening, Claire. Today we're going to begin finishing up right before we went off for holiday break. We were teaching on the three parts of dealing with rebellion through words, reason, and thought. We dealt with words and reasoning. Today I want to briefly, like I said, Claire, briefly deal with thoughts. And then I want to move on to a new lesson beginning this year, but I didn't want to go without completing this final step on thoughts. Okay? So dealing with these thoughts, we find out that the link between reason and thought. What do you mean the link? That's a connection between reason and thought, and unless that's discovered, there's no way of really being delivered from rebellion coming in and trying to dwell on the inside of your being. When I say your being, I'm talking about your soul. Rebellion is in the soul of a person, in that unrenewed part of them, in the Word of God. So, without further ado, let me deal with this now. Now, this is in chapter 10, if you're trying to follow me in your book. This is in chapter 10, and let me get my notes right here. And it's under the manifestation of man's rebellion. And I want you to notice this, that the first thing is that rebellious words come from rebellious reasoning, and reasoning in turn is cooked up in thought. When I say cooked up in thought, it's a process of repetitive thoughts. We know that thoughts are implanted by Satan himself, but there's a repetition. Satan causes you, or through his deviousness and deviceness, cause you to repeat things in your mind over and over again. We call that reasoning. And you begin to reason against God's word and against what God said in his word and against what God, men and women of God, may say in their authority position. So, it's cooked up in thought. I call that satanic thought. Satanic thought produces satanic reasoning. Remember that, class. Satanic thought produces satanic reasoning. Now we need to understand this. Therefore, it is the central factor in rebellion. What is the central factor in rebellion? Thought is the central factor in rebellion. That's what we got to deal with the most. And class, and I want to urge you with all power that within you to guard your ear gates. Be mindful of what goes into your ear, what you permit to go into your ear. And if you do that, class, then you won't permit the enemy to drive a thought down into your soul, a wrong thought. And we know that dealing with 2 Corinthians 10 and 4 to 6. It talks about, if you want to read in your scripture, it's talking about casting down imagination. Matter of fact, turn that quickly in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6. Really, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 I want to deal with. But let's look at it. And I want to get this in you so you won't have any doubt about how to deal with these things here. It's very important, class. This is very important information we're dealing with. And we can't allow the enemy to deal with us in this way. For the weapons, 10 and 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are what? They're not carnal. How would I say that? These weapons are supernatural weapons to deal with these thoughts. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And here's the verse that 10 and 5 that we really need to get down into our spirit. It says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that scripture there tells the whole secret of being delivered from these thoughts. Cast them down with these mighty weapons of our warfare. And we got so many weapons God give us. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God. All these are weapon artillery that God gave us to be able to combat the enemy. And we know the enemy comes in mainly through thought process. He has no power but deception, and we will not permit ourselves to be deceived by the enemy. So, man's thoughts are controlled by either one of two powers, either by reasoning or by the authority of Christ. And it's up to us when we decide whose power we're going to be submitted to. Whoever you submit yourself to, the scriptures say you become servant. So if you submit yourself to satanic thoughts, you're going to be servants of rebellion. If you submit yourself to God's thoughts, God's word, you're going to become servants of Christ. Now, in fact, no one in this universe can freely exercise his will. What does that mean? Question, what is, here's a question. I'm going to make that statement again. No one in this universe can freely exercise his will. The question is, what is your will? You see it? What is your will? I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to repeat this first statement. Man's thoughts are controlled by either one or two powers, either by reasoning or by the authority of Christ. In fact, no one in this universe can freely exercise his will. Exercise his will. Exercise your ability to think. Why? He's saying because there's two powers. There's two powers. One is the power, in fact, of reasoning through the authority of Satan, and the other power of submission by the authority of Christ. That's the only two power in the universe that's available that really controls your will. You see it? And we think there's a lot of things control our will, but it's only two powers. And isn't that something? Satan try to control our thought life, and Christ, on the other hand, want us to submit to his thought life. What is his thought life? His thought life is if it's word. You get the word of God in your heart, you just submit to God's thought life. Renew your mind with the word of God. Now, let me finish that statement again, and then it's going to make these truths solidified. It's going to try to drive something in. I've been trying to get to this class since we started here. No, I got to read this whole statement again. Man's thoughts are controlled by either one or two powers, either by reasoning or by the authority of Christ, as the two forces. Two. I don't want to call God a force, but he's authority. In fact, no one in this universe can freely exercise his will because he's either captured by reasoning or apprehended by Christ. You see, and that's where we got to stop Satan at before we apprehend our thought life with reasoning. Before he tempts us with the wrong thought. And that's what we want to be able to become students of, capturing the mind of Christ. He consequently either serves Satan or serves God. That's not science. That's not geometry. That's not mathematics, but it's simplicity. We consequently either serve Satan or serve God. That brings it down to a level we can understand. Whether or not a brother or sister has met authority may be readily discerned by the observing of number one, whether he has any rebellious word. Now, it's not hard to discern a person where they stand spiritually when it comes to rebellion, because their words exposes them. The words become the truth. And if you just listen for just a short time, it don't take long, you can discern where a person's heart is. Now, next time you become in a person's presence and you ever suspect that person's heart is not right toward God, toward your apostle or toward your pastor, spiritual leader, just listen to the words carefully, and one thing will be revealed first. The first thing going to be revealed is whether he has any rebellious words coming out of his mouth. You know, when I say rebellious word, I like to call these words that deal with against. You see it? Opposition, opposed, questioning. Some of these things are kind of hints like that their heart may not be just right in this matter. You see it? They throw out things that contrary to what you may believe is the standard for obedience. Now that you're being taught, Glad, you'll be able to pick it up right away. It's not hard. And here's the second thing. Whether he or she reasoned before God. What do you mean reason before God? Question some things about spiritual matters. Question spiritual matters. What do you mean? Spiritual matters from authority. Orders given by authority. You see it? And when you question delegate authority, it's just like questioning God himself. And it's almost to the point where they are how would I say that? They'll go to reasoning things that quite contrary. I'm gonna put it like this, Glenn. Words reveal rebellion. Rules reveal rebellion. Also, the greater thing that reveals rebellion is your spirit. As men are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And your spirit can discern when a person not right. I don't care if they don't say a thing. And that overrules everything. That overrules words. That overruled the idea, you see, because your spirit had discernment by God, especially if you're walking in his way with God. Now here's the third thing: whether he still offers many opinions. Now, you may have experienced that, you may have seen that, a person that questions all the time and a person that full of opinions. Well, why don't we do it like this? Well, especially when authority already established the way they want to do something, and they question with many opinions about what may be a better way to do it. And so these little things you got to watch, Glad. I'm just trying to give us some idea. I'm stuttering a little bit. Give us a little idea of what to be expected when you're in the presence of a rebellious person, and you don't come outwardly and say they're rebellious, but deep down in your heart, somewhere you know that their heart is not right in this matter. And as leaders in these churches, as supporters of your ministry, as watchmen in the ministry, you need to be able to know these things. You need to be aware of what's going on around you. No, we're just not church goers. No, this is God's business, and we need to be aware of what's happening around us. And I tell you what, in this ministry, our ministry of help is trained, apostles have trained them to a degree that they're aware of rebellion. They know when something is not right. They know when people's heart are not right. And I tell you what, they're tattletales too. They're tattletales. And I want you to know, it's all right to be a tattletale. Don't feel like you're out of the way because you're tattletale. No, your spiritual leader needs to know what's going on all the time. He or she can't see everything. The overthrowing of reasoning is merely the negative aspect. It's positive sequences is to have all one's thoughts taken captive to obey Christ so that he no longer offers his own independent opinion. In other words, the positive side of this whole matter is when these rebellious thoughts are cast down, according to 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, when they're cast down, you don't want to just cast these thoughts down, class. Your thoughts have to be brought back to obedience. In other words, take your thoughts back. Take God's thoughts back. Replace these rebellious thoughts with God's thoughts, God's belief system, what God stands for, what your apostles stand for, what your pastors stand for, what your leaders stand for. Bring these thoughts back to his original state where it's supposed to be. And then you're deviating yourself away from rebellion and rebellion thoughts. And so you have to be able to do that, Glenn. You have to be able to overthrow the wrong thoughts and overthrow reasoning and bring everything back to God's thought. Take captive to your thoughts. Take your thought back captive. Why? Because Satan had captive. When Satan bring his reasoning, he captivated your thoughts. You remember we talk about that. He captivated your thoughts, but now you got to take your thoughts back where you can cancel out reasoning. And I'm trying to repeat myself more than once. And cancel out wrong thoughts and bring your thoughts back to obedience. Because Satan tried to trip you. And when he trips you, he tricks you. And when he tricks you, he takes you out of God's will and puts you in rebellion against God without you even knowing. Because reasoning puts you in the position of justification, and justification makes you think everything's all right because I got a reason for not believing what I'm believing. Amen. Now, let's move on a little bit. We didn't recapture the thought. Now, I want to get back. I didn't want to spend too much time in that class, but I want to get back to where I was headed this morning or this afternoon, this evening, get back to the next stage of authority. The next stage of authority is one day you're going to be a delegated authority. When your heart get right and you walk in obedience, God says, that's the person I can promote. God says, that's the person that I can use in the position of authority. So being submissive to authority, it promotes you, and it allows God to be able to trust you to put you in the position to be an authority. And once you become an authority, class, you have to be able to operate from the standpoint of that submissive person that God called you to be in the first place. What am I saying, class? You cannot be an authority unless you've met authority. And so once you've met authority, that means I've learned to be operating in this place of submission. I know how to be in authority, and I know how to be under authority. But you have to learn how to be under authority before you can be in authority. That's what I'm trying to say. As an authority, you got to submit from you got to function in a submissive position. Now, that will be more clear when we go over these scriptures here that we're about to go in. Now, obeying delegated authority and being a delegated authority. That's what I want to talk about. Obeying delegated authority and being a delegated authority. God's children should not only learn to recognize authority, they should likewise be looking for those in whom they ought to be obedient to. Now, I stopped and I paused when I was studying for this lesson here. One of the things where people fail is they never got to the position of understanding or maturity to recognize authority. Satan tricked them before they could recognize authority. And they should likewise be looking for those to whom they ought to be obedient to. Now, let's talk about this a little bit more. Let's talk about this a little bit more. Now, go to Matthew 8 with me, please. Matthew 8, we're going to begin at verse 5. Matthew 8 and 5, this is going to help us some in explaining what where we're going with this lesson here. Just stick with me for a little bit, because the enemy don't like this kind of stuff taught. Because you if you teach this and they get caught, and you catch it in your inner man, then he has no ground to be able to fight against, no ground to fight with. Now let's look at this now. And when Jesus went into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, Matthew 8 and 5, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come in and heal him. Jesus always ready to heal. What did I say? Jesus always ready to heal. I don't know why sometimes people think Jesus is not healing anymore. But he's always ready to heal. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come underneath my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He knew something. And when he said that, Jesus knew he knew something. And not only knowing something, but he understood something here. He understood something. And what he understood marveled, amazed Jesus, the word that came out of his mouth. I wonder, have your word ever amazed Jesus? Why? This is something he had been looking for. And if it amazed Jesus, this is something that he'd been looking for. This is a quality that moves God. When you understand authority, it moves God because God knows that's the one I can work through, I can work with. I'm about to say something I never heard. And work for. What do you mean? God want to work for us, not against us. You see it? You see it? So here's his explanation. Here's his explanation for making this profound statement. You see it? He said, look what he said here. In this eighth verse, ninth verse. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Now, what did that tell you, class? I'm a man in authority. I'm in authority, having soldiers under me. What do you mean, soldier? I'm the authority. And what it means to have someone under you? He about to explain it now. And I say to this man, go. And guess what? He stand around, just look at me. No, he goeth. And I say to another, come. What do? He just stay there and look at me. No, he cometh. He cometh. And to this servant, and to my servant, do this. And he doing it. My goodness. Now, he knew exactly what authority does in the earth realm, in the natural realm. And he said, if it does this, if my thought, if my mere words cause men to move and to stop and to do things in the natural, I know another source that able to do it in another realm. My goodness, he caught a hold of something. He said, if there's another realm that he knew Jesus was functioning in. That's why he said, Lord, I'm not worthy to come under that roof. But you speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He knew that was a realm higher than him. That's why he didn't feel worthy. That was another realm. He had some understanding that of different realms. Apostles talk about it all the time. Realms, there are realms. There's a natural realm, and there's a spiritual realm. And this man here looked into the spiritual realm and saw the authority in the spiritual realm. Now, he understood this. He understood this. And look what else he said. What Jesus said. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that follow him, "Oh my, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith." He called it faith. "Have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." You see it? "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it. So be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. My goodness. Now that brings me to this point here. That brings me to this point of understanding of this authority in Matthew 8, really 8 and 9. "Today, even as God upholds the whole universe with his authority, so he joins his church or his children together, the body of Christ, through his authority." Now, he understood how this authority worked, but God wants to come into this earth realm, and just like the scripture said, Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power, of his authority. He want to use that same authority to join the body of Christ together with some leadership in the earth realm. Now, everybody is not called to be an apostle. Everybody not called to be a prophet. Everybody not called to be a pastor, teacher, evangelist. Everybody not called to the fivefold ministry. So what you saying, teacher? I'm saying that God has to have some direct authority in the earth that he can cause to be leaders in this earth realm, delegate authority, so that he can bring his body together. His body together. And I used to think about the church. I used to think about the local church. And I always thought about authority in the local church. But now, since apostle began functioning in his other office, his apostolic office, I began to see things in the universal church. I began to see things in the larger picture. I began to see authority in the big picture. Jesus is trying to get the church together in the big picture. But you know, it began with one church at a time. You see it? But there's a bigger picture that Jesus is trying to get together the body of Christ and to follow his direct plan so he can hurry up on his coming back and his mighty return, glorious return. He's getting the church ready for his glorious return. And so he's trying to get the children together. But you can't get the children together if they don't want to submit to one another. Are you with me? If there continues being dissension within the churches, God is alleviating dissension within the churches. And unless that dissension is dealt with, God cannot do what he wants to do in the earth realm. Now, let me make this statement. Today, even as God upholds the whole universe with his authority, so he joined his children together, the body of Christ, through that same authority. If any one of his children is independent and self-reliant, what self-reliant mean? Self-reliant means free from external control and constraint in action and judgment, not subject to God's delegated authority. In other words, a person that his own boss want to do his own thing, he's self-reliant, he don't want to listen to nobody, just want to be who he is, and then God can't deal with him because God can't trust him. You see it? You see it? So, you have to be subject to God's delegated authority. Then, if that doesn't happen, then one can never accomplish the work of God on the earth. You see it? See how important this is? Except that be a continuity and divine alignment in this authority, God, it's a broken connection. God can't do what he want to do. So we got to shore up the connection. And it start off in classes like these, teaching one another that I got to submit to whoever in authority over me. And I don't need to be questioning the authority because I got to trust that they believe from God. And if they error, then God can correct the error. It's not my job. Remember Ham? Try to correct his father? No, it's not our job to correct rebellion or missteps of authority. No, it's God's judge. God the judge. Each and every child of God must look for some authority to obey so that he or she may be well coordinated with the other and be connected to what God is doing upon the earth. That's what you want, class. That's what this authority is all about, to be connected what God is doing upon the earth. God has called apostles to this great work, to this great assignment, connecting churches together. No. Something he tried to rule over the church. No, he's just trying to connect them to God. As you hear, he say. And then he's a position of delegated authority. God has appointed him to be a position of delegated authority that he can lead the children of this world out of the Egypt of this world. Bring them to another realm where God is. He's teaching on drawing us closer in another realm of the Spirit. He's teaching, I am a spirit. I don't know if you've been having a chance to watch the broadcast, but he's making us understand, well, he's causing us to understand. You can't make nobody do anything. Causing us to understand that God is a spirit, and we're all a spirit, and we want to do what God said to do. We got to be in the spirit. What we do, we got to be in the spirit. You can't read your Bible unless you're in the spirit. You can't pray unless you're in the spirit. You can't do any good works unless you're in the spirit. And then that's how God joined us together. But you got to have a voice. You got to have somebody to be able to speak. But you got to also have somebody to be able to submit and to listen. And when the church, when the church, oh my goodness, I wish you could see this. I can see more than you can hear. I can see more than I can say. It's hard for me to utter something, but I can see it. And we want the church getting in alignment with God and trust leadership. And that's the fault of the church. They've got to the point where they stop trusting leadership because they want to do their own thing. But God is trying to bring us to a place of alignment where he have a delegated authority under the head of Christ, and the authority is submitted to Christ, and as he submit to Christ, we submit to him, and then as he speak, we obey like we obey in Christ. But no, everybody wants to hear God for themselves. They want to hear God for themselves, therefore they're self-reliant. You have a little group here won't do their thing. A little group over with history won't do their thing. A little group over here will do. And God trying to call the church together as one. Now, I'm not saying apostle is the only voice, but the voice he's using this time is surely coming from him. I know that. Because he brings us to another realm with God. He's not taking us away from God. He brings us closer to God. Are you with me? My time is almost up. I got about 30 more minutes. But I'm trying to get something out. This is a new section we're coming in. And sometimes it's just like you got to stumble a little bit in this because there's something else I'm trying to get you to see. That's another realm I'm trying to get you to go in this authority. It's not just submitting and obeying, but it's a bigger picture. But you got to get to submitting and obeying to get to this bigger picture. Of seeing what God is doing, going where God is going, hearing what God is saying to his delegated authority, and not having your own opinion. People so full of opinion. Oh, I wish you could understand. People so full of opinion and questioning authority and want to go in their own way. That's not what I'm seeing in the scripture. Oh, my goodness, God got more than what you see. My goodness. Sometimes to learn, you got to forget what you think you already know. Sometimes you got to get out your little religious background and move into the realm of the spirit and say, Lord, open my eyes that I can see. Open my ears that I can hear and go places that few people have gone. Why? Because they never got deep enough. Apostles teaching on deep. He said, no, you can't walk in no shallow water no more. No, you can't walk to the knees no more. No, you can't walk to the waist. No, you got to get in the water where you can swim. And that's what God trying to do. Get us to where we can swim. What do you mean when you can swim? You got to trust the Holy Ghost. What do you mean swim? You got to trust the Word of God. What do you mean swim? You got to trust divine leadership. You got to trust those that submit. He said, God showed him, he's Psalm 119. He said, God told him, said, you've been doing Psalm 119 for 48 years. That's why God trusts him so much. And that's why I trust him so much. Because I watched over the years. And you better follow up and show up yourself, shore up yourself, and listen, put ears to hear and eyes to see what God is doing, because these classes are tied in together supernaturally. Yeah, supposed to honor him. Yeah, you're supposed to listen to what he is saying. Yes, he got to get rough sometimes. Yeah, he got to get tough sometimes. Yeah, because that's what God's saying. My time, Brother Claire. I didn't mean to get so excited, but I know this last statement. By submitting to them, to who them? Them that God had called to be leaders over us. When I said I have to get away from the little local church and see the universal church. Now, I'm seeing when we listen to them that God is the big picture. If we listen to them, by submitting to them, we submit to God. My goodness. When the church see this, we submit to God, we are not to choose whom to obey, but to learn to be subject to all governing authority by God. Class, I wish I could go further, but I can't. My time is up, and I want you to go in peace and take a hold of what we just read. Read the 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Read the scripture in Matthew 8, verses 5 to 9. And understand what the Spirit of God is saying. Class, you listen good. We're going to stumble ourselves right into some truth. We're going to stumble ourselves right into revelation knowledge as we go keep reading the rest of that chapter in your book, that 12th chapter in your book. And when I come back next week, you're going to be able to see more of what we're trying to say to you and about this authority and what God's trying to do to us. So class, my class is ended. Go in peace.